Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. These verses here just get us started on our subject tonight. Again, we've been going through the Bible looking at different texts that have to do with the subject of salvation and that may also have to do more specifically with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue that and look in the book of Psalms tonight, but I want to get us started by reading what's found here in 1 Corinthians 15. If you would stand with me, we'll read the first four verses of the chapter. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's pray. Lord, again, we are grateful to be assembled together this evening and pray that you would now richly bless this message and this lesson. Lord, may we see what the Old Testament Scriptures and more specifically the book of Psalms have to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, the things that they say were spoken, were written long before he ever placed his foot physically upon this earth. And Lord, as we look at these things, may we be able to make practical application of it to our own lives and heed some of this as a warning to not respond to the Scriptures and what they say in the same manner that Old Testament Israel did, and therefore be put on a shelf and not able to be used of thee. Instead, help us to look at these Scriptures tonight, and may it reaffirm our confidence in the Word of God as our sole authority for faith and practice. And Lord, may we just allow it to guide us in every area of our life. So bless the message. Use it, I pray, for thy glory. And it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. We most recently looked at Psalm chapter 2 and noticed that it presented to us four different scenes. Scene 1 gave to us what was taking place on the world. And we saw there that the world was in complete rebellion against God. The heathen, the people, referring to the nation of Israel, the Gentile kings and leaders, all set themselves up against the Lord and against his anointed. And that message kind of went along with what we looked at Wednesday evening as well in Romans chapter 1, and how mankind has willingly rejected God and turned from the knowledge, the revelation that he's given them, and as a result, they continue on this downward spiral towards spiritual apostasy and moral decay. And so we looked at that in Psalm chapter 2 last week. We also looked at scene 2, which gives to us what's taking place at the throne of God in response to man's rebellion. And we see laughter, but not laughter of the humor sort, but laughter as God looks upon man's puny efforts to thwart his plan. And that's simply impossible, as we see in scene number 3, where God has already performed what the people of the world are attempting to prevent, and that is Jesus Christ. Maybe not literally, but he is already seated upon the throne of his kingdom. Not in a literal sense, but since God is not held to the dimension of time, Jesus will rule and reign on the earth. He will establish his kingdom, and nothing that we can do will change that. And then scene 4 from that particular psalm gave to us God's instructions to men based on the rest of the psalm. And God, in summary, says to be wise. And we would do well to be wise in relation to what that psalm has to say. Because even mankind as a whole and in general rebelled against God, and yet, in essence, all they did as a result was fulfill God's plan. They rebelled against the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. But in doing so, they fulfilled God's plan for his life, and that he was crucified for the sins of the world. So again, Let that be a lesson to each and every one of us. It says here in the verses I just read that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died in the exact manner, in the precise manner that the Old Testament Scriptures said that He would. And then it says in verse 4, and He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Again, He came up out of the grave just as the Scriptures prophesied of. And throughout this study, we've looked at how the New Testament tells us that in the books of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, there are things written of Jesus Christ. And so as we study our Bibles, we should be on the lookout for pictures and glimpses of our Savior. And He's seen throughout the book of Psalms. And tonight what I want to do is take you through some of these Psalms that we would call Messianic Psalms, and look and see what they said in regards to Jesus Christ and His work of redemption. Now, the first part of this message, perhaps the majority of this message, will be informational. Simply just looking at these Psalms and what they prophesied of concerning Jesus Christ. But as we look at these things and get towards the end of the message, I want to try to bring out some practical applications to what we look at. So let's begin in Psalm chapter 2. I'll reference it one more time. I know we looked at it in length last week, but I want to reference it one more time because, as I mentioned in the last message, Acts chapter 13 references this psalm specifically when it says the promise which was made unto the fathers. And in this chapter, Acts chapter 13, Paul is in Antioch of Pisidia and he's preaching there in the synagogue. We saw how Jesus' custom this morning was to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And I've heard other Bible teachers suggest that a custom that they had in the synagogues was once the formal activities were completed, they would give people the opportunity to speak. And that's what they did there in Antioch of Pisidia. Can you imagine having such an opportunity as the Apostle Paul did? Because once they get done with their service and come to a close, they say, does anybody have a word of exhortation? And so the Apostle Paul, he stands up and he begins to preach. And he's preaching to Jewish people there in a synagogue. And as he preaches, he says, the promise which was made unto the fathers, their Jewish forefathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children. God made a promise to their forefathers that He has now fulfilled in their generation. In that He raised up, notice this is the promise, in that He raised up Jesus again. So here, looking at the New Testament, we can conclude that the Old Testament prophesied of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a promise given to Old Testament Israel, but that was fulfilled during Paul's day. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And that's a direct quotation from Psalm chapter 2. And according to this New Testament commentary, that sentence is referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe we could also conclude that that is what is meant when the New Testament says that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. John 3:16, I think most of us know, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do you know in some new English versions, they don't translate that the same way? Right. It's not the only begotten Son. It's the one and only Son. But that seems to me to be incorrect.
Right. It is.
Because we, us men especially who are saved, we are also the sons of God. But Jesus is a very unique Son of God.
Yes, sir.
And therefore, there's this phrase attached to His relationship with the Father, the only begotten Son of God. And so that, for that reason, I believe it's important that the Bible be left, our King James Bible be left just the way that it is. But here again, in Psalm chapter 2, it says, or in Acts chapter 13, it says that Psalm chapter 2 is a reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But also, in Acts chapter 13, just a couple of verses down, it references another psalm, which I may have also referenced as the resurrection psalm. It says in verse 34, "And as concerning that He raised Him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore He saith also in another psalm," that would be Psalm 16, "Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." David is the author of Psalm chapter 16. And what Paul is saying here is that this statement in the Scriptures could not have been referencing David. Because his body saw corruption. It decayed. Just like all of his fathers before him. And then verse 37 says that he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Jesus' body was resurrected. It did not decay. Like our bodies will, Lord willing, and we're put in the grave. So Psalm chapter 16 speaks of Jesus' resurrection. Just as Psalm chapter 2 speaks of Jesus' resurrection. John chapter 2 and verse 22 says this, "When therefore He was risen from the dead," Jesus, "His disciples remembered that He had said this unto them." And He's talking about when Jesus said, "I destroy this temple and I'll build it up again in 3 days." Jesus made that statement. Not only did the scribes and Pharisees have no idea what He was referring to, neither did the disciples. They didn't know what He was talking about. That was until He was resurrected from the grave. And then it says, "Then they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said." That's when they understood what Jesus was referring to and believed, but that's also when they believed these Old Testament Scriptures that prophesied of the resurrection of Christ. They didn't understand what those Scriptures meant beforehand. And if we were alive and there with Jesus Christ, we probably wouldn't have understood what they meant either. Again, this John chapter 2 just highlights, again, that the Old Testament Scriptures prophesied of the resurrection of Christ. John 20 and verse 9 says, "For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that He must rise again from the dead." That's a reference to Peter and John. They ran towards the empty tomb of Jesus, and they looked in when they had heard that His body was no longer there, and they met that empty tomb with great surprise. You know why they were surprised? Because they did not yet know the Scripture that prophesied of His resurrection. If they had known these Old Testament Psalms were referencing Jesus Christ and His resurrection, they would not have been surprised at the empty tomb.
Right.
But they were surprised. Demonstrates that they didn't know what the Bible said. This demonstrates that, the Bible prophesied of the resurrection of Christ, both in Psalm chapter 2 and in Psalm chapter 16. I could spend a great deal of time in the next psalm, and I don't know, maybe Lord willing I will next week, but not necessarily tonight, and that's Psalm chapter 22.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm chapter 22 speaks of Jesus' sufferings and His death. Let me read to you what John 19 in verse 24 says. "They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it." These are the soldiers that had encompassed the Lord Jesus Christ, had beat Him, and now were contemplating taking His garments and distributing amongst themselves. They said, "Let us not rend it. Let's not rip His clothes, but cast lots for it, Let's draw straws, and whoever gets the short straw gets the coat. Then it goes on to say there in that verse that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Look then at verse 18 of Psalm chapter 22 and compare this with what is stated there in John chapter 19. It says, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Again, it was prophesying of how the soldiers would treat the Lord Jesus Christ. And it mentions things very specifically.
Right.
That they're going to cast lots over his clothes. Again, this psalm prophesied in regards to Jesus' sufferings and in regards to Jesus' death. Look at verse 7. It says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. Again, prophesying of Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. In John 19 and verse 37, it says, and again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Verse 12 of Psalm 22 says, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me. They looked at me. They looked upon him whom they have pierced. Again, this psalm speaks of Jesus Christ. It speaks of his suffering. It speaks of his death. Look at Psalm chapter 41. Psalm chapter 41, verse number 9. It says this, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You know, Jesus said to his disciples there at the Last Supper, one of you is going to betray me. And they asked Jesus, who's it going to be? And he says, it's the one whom I dip the cup and hand it to. I'm paraphrasing. And that one was Judas. And Judas was Jesus' own familiar friend, one that walked with them, one that was chosen by him. And it was his friend that betrayed him. That's why John 13:18 says, or Jesus says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. It also says in John 17 and verse 12, while I was yet with them in the world, Jesus saying to the Father, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That last phrase there is a phrase you'll find in most of these New Testament verses that I'm referencing, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Psalm chapter 41 speaks of Jesus' betrayal. Psalm chapter 69 speaks of Jesus' crucifixion. In that psalm, in verse 21, it says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. In John chapter 19 and verse 28, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Fulfilling exactly what the Old Testament scriptures stated. Time and time again we see this same pattern. In Psalm chapter 18 it speaks of Jesus' rejection amongst the Jews. It says in verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. And Jesus himself quoted that psalm in Matthew 21:42 when he says, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Here, Jesus references this psalm and points out that it's speaking of the Jews' rejection of him as their Messiah. He is the stone that's being talked about here. The stone that the builders rejected, because when builders would begin construct something in that day, they would start with the cornerstone.
Yes, sir.
That would be the foundation upon which that building set and caused it to be stable. Even today when we go to build something, we start with the footer.
Yes.
We dig into the ground a certain depth and pour concrete so that we'll have a firm fitting upon which to build. Well, this stone here is referring to Jesus Christ, and it was rejected. A construction crew might be on the lookout for a stone to use for the cornerstone, and they find a stone, they say, no, that's not the one we want to use. Well, that's like what the Jews did. They came and faced the Lord Jesus Christ, but they rejected him, and yet God's made him the chief cornerstone. On which our faith is built. So again, as you look at these psalms, and again, we could look at many other psalms. There are other psalms that reference the Lord Jesus Christ and reference His work of redemption, but I think this is sufficient for me to make my applications tonight. Psalm chapter 2 speaks of Jesus' resurrection. Psalm chapter 16 speaks of His resurrection. Psalm 22 speaks of His sufferings and His death. Psalm 41 speaks of His betrayal. Psalm 69 speaks of His crucifixion. And Psalm 118 speaks of His rejection by the Jews. So let me make some applications to these psalms. The first such application is that the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
It's long been said that one of the proofs that the Bible is divine in origin is its prophecies.
Yeah.
You know, in the book of Daniel, it prophesied of the four great nations,
yep,
that would come upon the world.
Mm-hmm.
Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Those four nations become great empires in the world, just as the Bible predicted.
Amen.
Book of Daniel, that same book, prophesied of the exact year in which Jesus would be cut off, the Messiah would be,
yep,
cut off and crucified. 483 years after the decree goes forth to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. These prophecies ought to reassure us that the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
How else could it so specifically predict,
right,
the things that Jesus Christ would suffer? And again, as you look at all these Psalms and the New Testament commentaries of them, it also strikes me that the Bible is clearly seen as our divine authority. Jesus over and over again says that the Scriptures must be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to transpire just as the Bible predicts and prophesies. And those Old Testament psalms that we just referenced, the prophecies that are found in them are all fulfilled literally. And I think I may have said this at some other point in time in this series of messages, but that tells me that all of the prophecies that we have in the New Testament must also be fulfilled literally.
Right. Amen.
When it talks about an Antichrist, I believe there's going to be an Antichrist. It,
right,
talks about the beast in the book of the Revelation who is the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
People can allegorize that if they want. They can shoo it away with some awkward interpretation of the Bible. But I believe that what the Bible predicts about the Antichrist will literally come to pass.
Amen.
Even some of us men, we were talking in the office before we prayed, and we just kind of look at the direction that the world is going, and you know what? It just appears to be becoming more and more obvious that things are going to happen precisely as the Bible says they will.
Right.
Who would have thought that the world? Who would have thought 100 years ago, 200 years ago, let alone 2 and 3,000 years ago, that the world could be set up in such a way,
mm-hmm,
that there would be a one world commerce? That's not too difficult for us to understand today. Do you know that if the government wants to find you today, that quick,
yeah,
all they got to do is look at your cell phone records. All they got to do is look at your credit card transactions. It's hard to hide from them today. And again, I don't know that that's all completely evil, but it's going to be used for evil
right.
one day.
Yes.
Because you know what? In the time of the Great Tribulation period, I can understand exactly how someone who doesn't have the mark of the beast won't be able to buy or sell.
Right.
Because all they got to do is say, sorry, we're not accepting cash any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And you better have some kind of card, some kind of mark. I know that when I say these things, the world thinks I'm crazy and they'll think you're crazy. But I believe that these prophecies
yes.
in the book of the Revelation are going to come to pass literally,
yes.
just like the Old Testament prophecies do.
Yes,
there's going to be a great tribulation period.
Right.
God is going to pour out His wrath.
Yes.
The locusts are going to bite people and it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be blood up to the horse's bridle. On that great battle that's fought. Jesus will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years.
Yes,
you say, how do you know that, preacher? The Bible. Interpret the Bible with the Bible. You look at the Old Testament prophecies, they were fulfilled literally. I got to believe the New Testament prophecies will be fulfilled
right.
in the same manner.
Right.
But you know, as you also look through these Psalms that I just referenced, it also should be clear to you that nothing takes God by surprise.
Right. Amen.
Old Peter, he got out his sword when the soldiers came to take Jesus and cut the one man's ear off. Jesus said, you know, Peter, put your sword back in your sheath. Couldn't I call 10,000 legions of angels if I wanted to? But Jesus says, I can't do that. You know why? Because the scriptures must be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Jesus knew they were coming. What did he say to them? When they were asleep for the third time. Get up, come on, the time is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't hear the soldiers yet, but he knew they were coming.
Right.
It didn't take Jesus by surprise when Judas betrayed him. No, he had predicted it and had somebody pin it down long, long ago in the book of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wasn't surprised about what he endured there at Calvary. He pinned it all down in great detail in Psalm chapter 22. You wonder why he was sitting there agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane? He knew what was about to take place. Not only did he know that his hands and his feet would be pierced, not only did he know that there would be a crown of thorns placed upon his head, but he knew that his fellowship with the Father would temporarily be broken as the sin of the world was placed upon him. It didn't take him by surprise. He knew what he was getting himself into. And you know what? When things come into your life, God's not surprised by it.
Amen.
He knew it was coming, so He must have allowed it to happen. And you should find great joy and comfort in that.
Because
God is just trying to use it somehow for your betterment. For your good. Again, these are applications I believe we can make based upon these Old Testament Psalms that reference Jesus Christ and prophecies concerning Him. The Bible is the Word of God. New Testament prophecies will be fulfilled literally, and nothing takes God by surprise. But I wanted to close by looking at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Here there's a contrast, or maybe you could say a comparison between Old Testament people, New Testament believers. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's what happened to much of Old Testament Israel. They heard the scriptures and they let them slip. They rejected them. The religious rulers, they rejected the Messiah. They rejected the scriptures that prophesied of the Messiah.
Right.
And as a result, they came under the condemnation of God. They no longer have the favor of God. I think that's obvious when they're overrun by their enemies. I think, yes, we may see God getting ready to reestablish them as His chosen people through which he works through and with. And that day is coming in the great tribulation period. But right now, they're under the condemnation of God because they, as a nation, rejected their Messiah. And you know what? If we reject not the Old Testament Scriptures necessarily, but the New Testament Scriptures, which speak to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll suffer the same fate. It says, "For if the word," this is verse 2, "spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" We have the words of Jesus Christ in the New Testament.
Amen.
We have the words of those
Amen.
That heard him, that walked with him.
Right.
And we have an obligation to believe those scriptures. And if we don't, we'll be cast upon the shelf just like the Old Testament Israel was. God took the time to explain to the Jews who Jesus was, how he would die, how he would be resurrected. Those that rejected those scriptures were judged. God has outlined for us today the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who his Son is and what he's done for us here in the scriptures. And if you reject what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, you can reject it, but you know what? How are you going to escape on the day of wrath, on the day of judgment? Where are you going to turn? What are you going to do? You're not going to have any hope. God has taken the time to explain to us who Jesus Christ is in his word, what he's done for us. And then he says, you know what? Believe this, because if you don't, there's a great day of judgment coming. The Bible's filled with warnings. God warns us over and over again. He warns lost people to get saved. He warns saved people to live like they're saved, because there's a judgment day coming.
Right.
And this really is written to believers. Don't you neglect your salvation, believer. God has freely given it to you. Don't take advantage of it. Because you don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ with shame. You want to be able to stand there with confidence and boldness, knowing that you served him all of your days. So again, here in the book of Psalms, we see all types of references to Jesus Christ. It gives to us his death. It gives to us his resurrection. Jesus died according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15 says. And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. According to the Old Testament scriptures. But we have even more than the Old Testament scriptures. Those Jews, for some of them, that's referencing Jesus? It was in a glass darkly. But here in the New Testament, boy, we have the truths of God on open display for us.
Amen.
So if you reject the New Testament scriptures and what they say about Jesus Christ, your condemnation will be even greater than that of Old Testament Israel. So if you're not saved, I encourage you to trust Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, don't neglect your salvation. Realize that these New Testament prophecies will be fulfilled literally just like the Old Testament prophecies were. Realize the Bible is the Word of God. And also remember that nothing that happens in this world takes God by surprise. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy Word. Thank you for the practical applications that we can make from it. And God, I pray that you'll just encourage and help your people tonight as a result of this message. And I pray you'll also just be drawing the lost unto yourself. Lord, those of our children that have not yet embraced Christ as Savior, just use this message to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. And Lord, just bless now in our invitation as well, and use us, Lord, throughout this week to testify of what the Scriptures say about Jesus Christ, to give other people the opportunity to be saved. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.